Okay, we were learning in the time of Devarah, the first midah of the 13 midahs of Hashem in Sefer Meichin and Navi, and the first midah is Mikel Kamaicha. Mikel Kamaicha, what God is like you, Hashem. And Chazal have revealed to us that the Malachim, the angels, when speaking of Hashem, Mikel Kamaicha, that they're speaking of Hashem as a melech ne'elav, a melech oluf, a degraded and disgraced God, a humiliated God. I mean, ne'elav means to be humiliated. And we learned that, the Ramak explains, that the source of Hashem's humiliation, kivyochel, is the fact that Akash Baruch Hu is aware of everything that we think, that we say, that we do. And not only that, but Hashem is Mashpia, He gives us every breath of life. And the person uses, when the person uses the life that Hashem gives him, and rebels against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the very life force, vitality, and energy that Hashem provides him with. And not only that, but Hashem is not Meinea Mimenu. The Ramak says that Hashem could, in a split second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could take away this person's life. Like we saw in Navi with Yeravim's arm, that Hashem dried up Yeravim's arm. And yet Hashem, with all of our avarice, He continues to give us and provide for us, and He loves us and takes care of us. And because of this, Hashem is referred to as a melech ne'elav, a king, a father, who's humiliated by His children, by His servants. This is the side we learned last week. In the midas of Hashem, Hashem karach mechanan, Chazal tell us that Hashem is Kaidim Hashem, is Kaidim Achayt. It says Hashem twice. Hashem, Hashem, Karacha Machanan. Hashem Kaidim, before the sin, and Hashem La'achar Achayt, and Hashem after the Chayt. Hashem La'achar Achayt, after the sin, is that midah of Mikel Kamoicha. Mikel, Kel means, we learned last week, on the one hand, that name Aleph Lamed means that Hashem is powerful. Hashem could exact punishment. Hashem could do anything that He wants. At the same time, Kel is also chesed, is also kindness. So Mikel Kamoicha means that even though there's a midah of gevur, of strength, Hashem is a Kel Kana, He's a zealous and jealous God. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is soivo, He's patient. In order to give us free choice, in order that our lives should be meaningful, Hashem's Baruch waits and gives us time, and He gives us the ability to go on using the shefa, the brachas that He gives us, in a way to hurt Him, kivyachol, to go against Him. So we saw that the Ramak tells us that this midah of Mikel Kamoicha, the purpose of the Sefer is to teach us Hashem's midas in order that we live in that way. So the Ramak says, that a person has to live this way. In a way, what? He says, with savlonis, with patience, with tolerance. And even though a person, the Ramak says, is embarrassed, is humiliated, afilu madrega zu, him calls us lo yes of tevosam and hamakabel, the person, despite the fact that the other is ungrateful, the one who receives all of the benefits of that relationship, of that kindness, is ungrateful, and not only that, but uses those blessings to rebel against the one who is giving the blessings. Despite that, the midah of Mikel Kamoicha is lo yasav tavosam and amakabel. I mentioned at the end that this is a midah that we see in particular, that this is a midah that we find by parents. That those parents who have been in situations, and every parent to one degree or another has been in this situation, where the children are not living up to the expectations of the parents. And sometimes you find, lo aleinu, where there's a child that goes off the derech, that goes against everything that the parent believes in, and is mevayish the parent, and embarrasses, a source of embarrassment for the parent. Nevertheless, the nature of a parent is to be soivel their own personal embarrassment and shame, and to continue to be mechabed the child, to love the child, to give brachas to the child, even though the child abuses this love and misuses all of the gifts that the parents are giving him or giving her. The parent is patient and waits. This savlonis that the Ramak is talking about in this midah of Mikal Kamoicha, this savlonis is alluded to in Chumash, where we find by the bracha of Yisachar, where it says Vayet Shichmo Lizbol, that Yisachar carries the burden on his shoulder, Vayet Shichmo Lizbol, that he carries the ol, the burden upon his shoulder. Over the years, I think we've spoken about this a number of times, Rav Volbi in Alei Shor talks about this midah of being soivel. When a person, Lamoshal, it would be much easier if a person has a child who's not behaving. I'm not talking about a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old. I'm talking about a 17-year-old, an 18-year-old, a 19-year-old. I've had this discussion so many times with parents over the years, that it's so hard for the parent to continue to carry that child on his shoulders, to carry the child on her shoulders, to continue to give and to connect and to provide and to love. And there is this feeling that a person has that he wants to be mashlich, the child, off of his shoulders, to be rid of this embarrassment, to be rid of this burden. In a relationship, when two people are not seeing eye to eye, so the midah of kas, Rav Volbi explains that when a person reacts with anger, instead of being soivel the person and bearing the burden of that relationship, anger means that I am ridding myself of this annoying responsibility to remain engaged in this conversation, to remain engaged in this relationship. And it's always easier to remove that burden from one's shoulders. Now, Rav Volbi points out a fascinating thing. He says that the word marriage is nisuin. Nisuin is from the lashon of being noisei, to carry. To carry something means, when we even use the word in English, to carry a responsibility. It means to be soivel. All the matzavim of life where it would be easier for somebody not to be soivel. So the Torah says about Yisachar, Vayet Shichmo Lizbol. Vayet Shichmo Lizbol. And this midah of Mikel Kamoicha is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu carries each and every one of us. That connects to the next, to the midah we're coming to, of Noisei Avain.
I think we say the shoulder responsibility.
The shoulder the responsibility. There's also a lashon. Vayet Shichmo Lizbol is to shoulder the responsibility. But the easiest thing is to just disengage. There are many parents, well, they continue on with their children, but they're disengaged. There are many couples that at the beginning they were trying to shoulder the responsibility of the relationship and to engage in the relationship, but over time they just gave up and they've removed that burden from their lives. That doesn't mean that they're necessarily separated or divorced. It could be that they remain married, but they don't care anymore. They don't invest in the relationship anymore. Mikel Kamoicha means that Hashem continues to invest in us. He continues, He never gives up on us. Mikel Kamoicha, even though with all that Hashem invests, what does He see? What are the returns? What does He get from His investment in terms of our behavior and how we respond to Him and how we treat Him? So this is the midah of Mikel Kamoicha, and the Ramak says that we should live this way when it comes to others. Now, For each of the midas, we're going to see that the truth is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us in that way that we relate to Him. Now, how does that, you know, there's midah keneged midah. How does that work with this midah of Mikel Kamoicha? So there's a beautiful Ramban that's coming up in a few weeks in Parshas of Eschanan. And the Torah says, Loi merubchem mikol ha'amim, choshak Hashem bochem, vayivcha bochem. This pasuk, more than any other pasuk in the entire Torah, is telling us that Hashem loves us. Not only does He love us, it says, Loi merubchem, not because we're the most, we have the most numbers, mikol ha'amim, choshak Hashem bochem. The Torah uses the lashon of cheshek, choshak Hashem bochem. Hashem is a cheshek for Am Yisrael. He's a cheshek for each and every Jew. Vayivcha bochem, and Hashem has chosen us, not because there are a lot of us. Ki'atem ha'ma'at mikol ha'am. Adrabe, there are fewer of us. Ki mi'ahavas Hashem eschem. Because of Hashem's love for us, goes on, and He keeps the shul that He made to us, and He took us out of Mitzrayim. So there's a very important Ramban. Because the word cheshek in Lashon HaKodesh is a very, very strong term for attachment, for connection. And when we say, when a person says, I have a cheshek for something, it's not always clear why. The word cheshek, when you have a strong desire, a strong longing for something, doesn't always have a tam, a siva, a reason to explain why do you have that cheshek. But kacha, I have a cheshek for this. So the Ramban says, "Mizet tam loy merubchem mikol ha'amim." He says, the Torah says, "Loy merubchem mikol ha'amim." It's not because there are many of us. Because if the Ramban explains, if it was a matter of how many there, that Hashem is Baruch, a king, we see by Melech Basav Adam, that if there is an area that's more populated, so perhaps that's more important in the king's eyes. See, here the Torah says, Lay Merub Chemi Kalam, not because there's so many of you. Batam Ma'at. Bafal Pichin Choshak Bachem Vayivcha Bachem. And then he explains the word Cheshek. And the Rabban says, "V'tam cheshek shenikshu imochem bekesher amitz." The Rabban says that Hashem is bound to us with a powerful kesher, and he says, "L'shal yipari mikem la'olam," and Hashem will never ever be separated from us. Miloshen, we see this by the Mishkan, v'chashukeihem kesef. B'chashukeya means when something is attached, it's bound, it's connected. V'yivcha b'chem, the Ramban says, mikol ha'amim, she'tiyu atem skul of anachal likeh b'chir v'chol mokem b'rei min ha'chem. Hashem has chosen us from amongst all the nations of the world. V'am ha'atam. And the Ramban says, the Torah tells us why. Ki me'ahavas Hashem esam, because of Hashem's love for you. Bocha b'chem. He chose us. Shiroah eschem ru'uyim l'hisahev, that Hashem has seen us as worthy of His love, v'nivcharim le'ahava yoyisim mikol ha'amim, and He chose to love us more than any of the nations. V'lehizke b'zetam min ha'bechira. Berman says, but the Torah doesn't say, why does Hashem love us? What is it about us that makes us so lovable in Hashem's eyes? It's a good question. What is it about us? What is that nakuda that makes us ne'ahavim in God's eyes, so loved by Hashem? Well, his gibbet is a tam and a bechira. Doesn't say the reason for the bechira, for this choice. Ki'anivcha la'ohev ha'yodeya lizbol esayhavoy b'chol haba'olav mimeno. The Ramban says an amazing thing. He says the reason that Hashem loves us in such a way is ki anivcha lo ohev hayodei lizbol esoyahava b'chalabo alav imenu, because we love Him in such a way. And the Ramban tells us that ahava is measured by to what degree is the person soyvel, the other one, to what degree does one tolerate and bear the other one despite the reality that often one is let down by the other. Listen, no matter what that one does to you, the other does to you, you're still soivel. No matter what the kid does to you, no matter what happens, no matter what happens with a friend. The Ramban says that the Jewish people are ru'uyim lekach, we are worthy of Hashem's love more than any nation. He brings the Gemara. Shloisha azim heim. The Gemara says in Beitza that there are three things in the world where we see tremendous azis. Everybody knows what means azis. It's hard to translate into English. A certain kind of a chutzpah, a certain type of a goal. Shloisha azim heim. The Gemara says Yisrael ba'umais, among all the nations of the world, Hashem, the Jewish people are azim, have the biggest azis. Kelev b'chayis, the Gemara says, a dog has the biggest azis upon him of all animals. And the tarnagol b'ayfis, and the chicken, the rooster b'ayfis by birds. And here the Ramban says, shloish azim heim Yisrael b'umais. Now, let's just talk about this word azis, because the Gemara is telling us that the Jewish people are azin sheba'umais, and we're being compared, it doesn't sound too flattering, we're being compared to dogs and to roosters. That's not so flattering. So what is this midah of azis? So one might think that the midah of azis is gevura, is strength, but that's not true, because a dog is not, certainly not the strongest animal, and neither is a chicken or rooster the strongest bird. So what is the meaning of azis? Now the Ramban says over here, the Ramban says, Shleisha azim hem yisob umois, ki yamdu lo binisyanos, that we are able to withstand all of the tests of our faith, we are able to make it through all of the nisyanos of life. O Yehudoi, Oy Tzoluv. The term from Chazal is that Jews have historically been able to look at our enemies in the face and to say, either you allow me to remain a Jew, or Tzoluv, or you can crucify me. Tzoluv means a cross. Or you can kill me. I'm not going to change. So, I'm sorry?
Tenacious.
This Midah of Azis does not mean necessarily strength. The Maharsha explains there on that Gemara that Azis is Ela Lamoid al Divrayim. That when you believe in something, when you hold something, when you want something, Lamoid al Divrayim v'lo yashuvu mipnei kol. The nature of the Jewish people that makes them Azim Shibumais is once they decided that they belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once we made that decision that we're connected to Hashem, that we have that cheshek to be connected to Hashem, the Mashiach says, "Lo yeshuvu mipnei kol." Nothing changes them. They're an amkshei oyrif. There's a stubbornness. In this respect, we understand that by animals, there's a certain midah that the dog has in azis, that once the dog gets fixated on something, doesn't let go. And the same thing with a chicken or a rooster, doesn't let go. So this tchuna, there's a certain tchuna, the Ramban is telling us, that makes us most beloved to Hashem. That no matter how much aggravation we cause him, he stubbornly and tenaciously holds on to us as his people. And the reason for that, the Ramban is telling us, because we stubbornly and tenaciously hold on to him as a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we refuse to let go, and we go through all of the nisyonos, and we go through all of the disappointments that we have had in our relationship with him, kivyochel. It's true, the Ramak is telling us that the midah of Mikel Kamarcha is who is like Hashem, that he tolerates, he's patient, and he waits for us, and he's soivel so many things from us. But what the Mashiach is saying, and the Ramban is telling us, is that Am Yisrael has this midah as well. The midah of Am Yisrael, there is this midah of Am Yisrael that was soivel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it hasn't been easy to be Hashem's people. And if Yisrael are the Azim Shubu'umais, that despite all of the difficulties that Hashem has put us through, and despite all of the difficulties we've gone through because we're Hashem's people, including what's going on right now in Yisrael, this is all because we're Hashem's people. And despite that, Vayet Shechmol Lizbol, we don't throw Hashem off. We hold on to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Achastiv V'loy Arpenu, it says in Shir Hashem, I hold on to you, I don't let go of you. This midah of Azus, the Ramban says, is the underlying cause of the love that Hashem has for Am Yisrael. But based upon what we're learning, we understand that if there is this midah that Hashem has revealed, it's called Mikel Kamoicha, Am Yisrael has lived with this midah in our relationship with Him all of these years. That even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't, not the Chas V'Shalom, we doubt Hashem's Midas Emes and his Yashus, but even though a person is hurt and a person is disappointed and his life turns out chalila to be miserable, despite that the person gets up and continues to daven and continues to keep mitzvahs, he could just as easily be mashlich Hashem from his shoulders. He could throw the burden of Yiddishkeit off of his shoulders. It's a remarkable thing how Jews go on, how Jews continue on. And we've seen this with our parents, grandparents, how he didn't continue on to be Seivel Hashem, to believe in Hashem. Of course, a dog and a chicken, they have this midavazis without any das. Why a dog gets fixated on something, and the dog gets meshugah for something, it's without das, it's without seichel, whatever that is, why Hashem made such a creature, I don't know. But Am Yisrael, a human being is a badass, has das, and a human being has options and can make choices. And yet, Am Yisrael has continued through all of the years to choose Hashem. To choose Hashem, despite the fact that that choice has led to tremendous suffering, degradation, and humiliation as Hashem's people. So the midah that Hashem has revealed to us, Mikel Kamoicha, is a midah that we see in Am Yisrael as a people. And not only that, but it's the underlying, the Ramban tells us, it's the underlying shirish, the root of Hashem's infinite love for Am Yisrael. Our ability, he says, to go on through all of the Nisyanis. Shenikshe imachem bekesher amitz. The kesher amitz. You remember that after the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to see Hashem's face. And Hashem said to him, "Plan aleihu, right? It's achrei ravisa. You could see me from behind." So you remember Rashi brings from Chazal. What does it mean to see Hashem from behind? Rashi brings down kesher shel tefillin haraloi, that Hashem showed him the kesher of tefillin. The kivyochel Hashem wears tefillin, and Hashem showed him the knot, the kesher of the tefillin. Achrei ravisa, the Svarim say, the Chassidish Svarim say, achrei ravisa means Hestaponim. It means we want to see Hashem's face. We want to see Hashem's love. We want Hashem's Hashgacha to be clear. A relationship of love is described always as panim el panim, face to face. When you love someone, you look at the person. Panim el panim. A relationship that's described as achorayim, as back to back, means where you're not able to feel that connection and that love. It's when people cannot look at each other in the eyes. So despite the fact that it says in Pasuk, Achoy Rei Reisa, Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that there are going to be many, many times that all you're going to see is my back. You're not going to see how much I love you. It's not going to be clear to you. You're not going to see that. Herolei Kesher Shel Tefillin. But despite that, what Hashem is saying, even though it's Achoy Rei Reisa, you only see me from behind, and you're not going to see my face, and you're going to feel chalila, as if I've left you, as if I've abandoned you, as if I don't care about you anymore. What's remarkable about Am Yisrael is despite that, we're still able to see that kesher, that knot that binds us with Hashem, the kesher amitz that the Ramban is talking about. Because it would be very easy for us to feel that Hashem has thrown us away, that He's not soivel us, that He doesn't bear or tolerate us. There are children who feel that their parents don't love them. They don't feel that connection to their parents. They don't see that kesher. They see achoyrei reisa. They see their parents turned away from them, and they're looking for a sign of that kesher, and they don't see that kesher. And when you don't see that kesher, you can't continue. You can't go on. There's such a hastapon, you can't continue. The midah of Mikel Kamoicha is that Hashem tells us, even though, in our relationship, so often you turn away from me, I still see the kesher. I still see that connection between us. I still see that we have this connection, this kesher, and I'm not letting go of you. I'm going to be soivel that. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to wait. I believe, ultimately, that this relationship can be repaired. Now, we're learning from the Ramban that Am Yisrael relates to Hashem in that way as well. Even though we see Hashem very often only from behind, we don't see His love. We don't see Him as panim, in a way of panim el panim, eye to eye, face to face. We don't see His love. The Jews that went through the Holocaust, that went through other tzaras, and despite that they go on davening and keeping mitzvahs, because they believe in that kesher shel tefillin. What does it say in Hashem's tefillin? Mika'amcha Yisrael, goyecha betfillin. Goyechad bars. The Gemara says, what does it say in Hashem's tefillin? Mika'amcha Yisrael, that Hashem, in Hashem's tefillin, it speaks about Hashem's singular love for Am Yisrael. Just as in our tefillin, it speaks about Shema Yisrael v'yahavtas Hashem l'kecha, our love for Hashem, and Hashem's tefillin, it speaks about His love for us. Mika'amcha Yisrael, goyechad bars. And that's why it's interesting when it says, we say this throughout the time of Slichus and Rosh Hashanah, says in Metshuva. We say the pasuk Ki Am Kshei Oirav Hu V'Salach Talav Anein L'Chat Hasein. We say it on the first day also. We lane the pasuk. Ki Am Kshei Oirav Hu means that we're stiff-necked people. So the Balatani and other tzaddikim ask, why does it say that as a reason for forgiving us? Ki Am Kshei Oirav V'Salach Talav Anein L'Chat Hasein L'Chatan. Because we're stiff-necked, Hashem forgives us for our sins. It's odd. Ki Am Kshei Oirav should be a reason that we're stubborn and we're stiff-necked. It should be a reason not to be forgiven. But all we daven, we say, Ki Am Kshei Oirav Hu V'Salach Lavan Enochat Eseinu Chatam. Because we're stubborn, because we're tenacious, because we're stiff-necked, because we refuse to budge, because we refuse to change, we're Akshonim. We're Akshonim. And the Rabban says that once we accepted Hashem, no matter what happens to us, we say, you could kill me, I'm a Jew, I'm not changing. That azus that Am Yisrael has is this midah that of Mikel Kamaicha, Noisei Ovain Vafesha, Va'oyev Al Pesha, that it works both ways. Hashem continues to tolerate and bear us despite all of our inadequacies, our shortcomings, our failures. And we, kivyochel, continue to bear Hashem, to tolerate, to believe in Him, and to serve Him, despite the fact, not chalila, that Hashem is imperfect, but that we don't see His face, that we don't see His love, we don't see His connection to us, and we've been let down. We've been let down by Him time after time. We've been let down. A person's davening for someone that they love to live, and they're davening, they're crying their hearts out. And then the person, I'm not talking about an old person, a young person, the person leaves the world. And from that moment on, the person accepts it and says, Siddiqa Din. And with all of that pain, he or she goes on davening, keeping mitzvahs, being a Jew. There's a midah of Am Yisrael, of Mikel Kamoicha, Noisei Ovain. We'll talk about Noisei Ovain in a minute, the midah of Noisei Ovain. That we continue to carry upon our shoulders that relationship that we have with Hashem, despite the fact that the person could easily throw it away. And there are people who go through suffering, and as a result of going through that suffering, they remove that connection. They remove from their shoulders that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that connection to Hashem. Of course, a question that you have to ask, and this one we'll talk about, is, and we see this ourselves with our children, that if you're always soivel the one that you love, if you always have rachmanis on the child, and you always soivel the child, then why would the child change? How would the child change? If you're always soivel everything, if the kid knows he can get away with anything, If the kid knows he can get away with anything, then why would we continue to be sorry for the child? The kid knows that he can get away with anything. So the Svarim say that when it comes to Am Yisrael, that in Pnimius, we know that we're doing something that we're not supposed to be doing. We know that we're not supposed to be doing this. And the Svarim say that when we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite our faults, continues to seek a relationship with us and continues to love us, so then eventually we're able to make our way back. And we see the same thing when it comes to kids, that a parent who is mashlich a child, God forbid, the parent who is mashlich the child, who throws the child off, who unburdens himself of that child, so the child feels that there's nobody to return to. But the parent who continues to love, they say by Reb Chaim Chenevitzer, Reb Chaim Chenevitzer was the Be'er Maim Chaim, probably heard of him. He's a big, big, big tzaddik, the Be'er Maim Chaim. The Be'er Maim Chaim had a son who was a Mechal Shabbos Mefasiyah. He had a son who was a Mechal Shabbos. It's hard to believe. It's about 200 years ago. The Be'er Maim Chaim had a son who was a Mechal Shabbos. And the Be'er Maim Chaim, he used to say, Rabbi Shalom, my son is Mechal Shabbos. My son eats Nevelis and Shreifis. And despite that, look, Rabbi Shalom, how I love him, and I go on with him. I continue with him. I show him so much love. So can't you do the same for us? The Be'er Maim Chaim used to say that. That even though we're not behaving the way that we should, if I, Chaim from Chernivitz, can do this, then certainly you can do this as well. So it's true that a child has to be disciplined. It's true that a child has to be taught. But the child can never ever feel that a parent has unburdened himself. That the parent does not stifle the child anymore. The parent can't bear the child anymore. Once the child feels that that love is gone, once the child feels that the parent is not stifle him anymore, is not stifle, that there is no midah of mikel kamoicha in that relationship, and that the parent says, that's enough already, I've had it with you, get lost, I'm finished with you. So then the child has nobody to return to. There's no reason to go on. He has no reason to come back. I saw once in a book that stories about Shlomo Kalibach, not stories that he was telling, but stories about him. And there was a maisa, I don't remember where it happened, that it was after the Milchama. And Rav Shlomo met a survivor who had gone through horrible, horrible things. There's a lot of details in the story, it's not important to go into. But the Nekud HaPnimis of the story was that Reb Shlomo asked him, why did you come back? Why did you come back to Yiddishkeit? And why is it that some came back to Yiddishkeit and many others who survived did not return to Yiddishkeit? So this person was a great person, told Reb Shlomo that those who were able to look back in their past and were able to remember a Rebbe who was kind, parents who were loving, they had a point of reference to return to. He said, you see, we had, when the war ended, we had nothing. We had nothing to look forward to. We didn't know what's going to be. In many ways, there are many things that are written about this, in many ways, the liberation was the most difficult time. In certain ways, more horrible than the experience of being in the camp was the emptiness of liberation. And I know my father told me that after liberation, so there was a whole big yontif, everybody was all excited, and then, so now, what is there? Where are we going? What do we have? There's nothing. There's nobody to go back to. There's nothing. There's nowhere to go. We don't know anybody. We don't know anything. And what's going to be with our lives? The Klausenberger said, Schusselin, the Klausenberger said that he was 1,000% certain that when the doors of the concentration camp were going to open, he was 100% certain that Mashiach Tzidkenu was going to come through the doors. And it was such a disappointment that the Americans came through the doors. He said, even though he was grateful, and he was always grateful to the American army, to the American people, he said, but how could it be after all of that, how could it be that Mashiach wouldn't come with the tzaddikim marching through the door to liberate us? So after the liberation, there was a terrible feeling of emptiness. So this person told Reb Shlomo, those of us who were able to look back and to make an association between Yiddishkeit, Hashem, and a kind Rebbe, a kind parent, a loving Rebbe and a loving parent. So we were able to somehow put Yiddishkeit back together because we needed something desperately to hold on to. But we needed a feeling of connection, of love. But those for whom Yiddishkeit was something that was miserable, where the Rebbe was angry, where the parents, where the Yiddishkeit was in the way of anger, of punishment, of din, and so on. So he said that, I had enough of that from Hitler. Why do I need more of that? The whole Yiddishkeit is just bad memories. The whole Yiddishkeit was being patched in cheder and being yelled at by my father to learn, to do this, to daven, get up for davening, you're lazy, you're no good. So he says, so what do I need? I had enough misery during the war, but I need to go back to more misery in Yiddishkeit. But for those who could see that Yiddishkeit, that for them Yiddishkeit was a time in the past where they felt a connection, where they felt love, where they felt that there was a nesias ol. So that gave them the ability of ayet shechma lizbol. That gave them the ability to be able to move on with life and to set their shoulders to bear the responsibility of continuing on with Torah mitzvahs and resuming a life of shmiras mitzvahs, starting again and keeping Torah mitzvahs, which is what I saw by my parents, maybe you've seen by the parents, grandparents, that they vayet shechma lizbol, that after everything, vayet shechma lizbol, they took up again that relationship after the Milchama to continue. This midah of Azaz doesn't mean strong. The Jewish people are not the strongest people in the world. That's for sure not. We're not the strongest people. But we have the biggest Azaz. And I like the word tenacious. I think that's a terrific translation. We're the most tenacious. We're the most stubborn. There's an akshamas that we're not letting go. This is the truth. We believe that this is the truth. Regardless of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has dealt us a difficult set of circumstances in life right now, I'm going to be soifel Hashem on my shoulders. I'm going to carry the burden of that relationship. I'm not letting go. One of the greatest nisyanis we have now is that with the marriages, that to begin with, the marriages are so fragile, the chasen and kala are so, so fragile, that if something goes wrong, the first instinct is, I'm done, I'm finished, I'm out of here, I can't bear this. It's not going the way that I want. And since it's not going the way that I want, I'm unburdening myself of this relationship. And you could, as I said before, you could remain married for 50 years like that, screaming and yelling and carrying on, or not caring, you're being apathetic, being nasty. The essential point is, you've unburdened yourself of that person. You removed that person. You threw the person off. It was a hashlocha. And you lived with that person in a state of hesedpanim for 40, 50 years. Or what's happening now more than ever is that it didn't work out the way that I wanted. I'm out of here. I can't, I don't want this. Obviously, I'm not talking about situations where there's abuse, chas v'shalom, something that's terrible. I'm talking situations that 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago would have been a challenge, and they work it out and go weiter. And then they say each other, they carry, they're able to continue on in that nisuin to carry each other despite the disappointment. But everything now is when a person is disappointed, right away when he's disappointed, it's ois Yiddishkeit, ois Rabbanu Shalom, ois marriage, ois, finished, I'm done. There's no, the shoulders are very, very weak now. We've never been in a generation where the shoulders are so weak. Any tiny little thing that comes along, the person's ready to sabroch, the person can't bear that responsibility. He can't be soivel, the all. He can't be noisei, the all. In relationship between friends, everything, if a person says this or looks the wrong way, it's fafal and it's finished. And we see this playing out in many, many ways. Where by the tzaddikim, the trademark of the tzaddikim, l'marshal. This is a famous story that everybody knows about, the Satmar of Susi Yelena. That there was a person who came to him who wasn't religious, and he was describing to the Satmar Rebbe that he had a situation. He had to come to America because he has a son that's sick, and he had to bring him to Beth Israel, to the hospital, and he doesn't have insurance. He came with the whole story to the Satmar Rebbe, which is a true story. He had it from the doctor, all the doctors, all the documents, and the Satmar Rebbe took out, in those days, the Satmar Rebbe took out, and he gave him $5,000. For this person who's not religious, he gave him $5,000 to go and to take care of the medical needs for his son. And the man walks out, and the Gabri runs in and says, Rebbe, do you know who that person is? So the Samaritan says, he told me his name. Who is he? I don't know who he is. So he says, this was the person who was writing, that writes in the Israeli newspaper, he's an Israeli, the most vicious, horrible articles against the Sadam, against you, against the Rebbe. So you know what the Rebbe did? It's a famous thing. The Rebbe said, quickly go get him. And the Gabri was all excited. The Rebbe's going to get back the money and give him a piece of his mind. So he brings the guy back. The guy was caught like a, you know, chicken for kaparis. He was caught. And the Gabri brings him into the Rebbe. And the Rebbe takes out another $5,000. He said, I don't want you to think that Chalila, that I didn't give you more because of any Indian that I have with you. This is the Indian, the meat of the tzaddikim. Rav Kook, if you ever read anything about Rav Kook, and I'm sure that in Ganeden, those two tzaddikim are best friends. If you've ever read anything about Rav Kook, the bizyonis that he went through, what they gave him in Yerushalayim, it was unbelievable, the bizyonis. Because he was ahead of his time. He was a big visionary, and he was a big person. He was different, and Yerushalayim wasn't ready for Rav Kook, that's for sure. And the bizyonis, and you know how many people who were the biggest cause of his bizyonis, they in the end, after they needed him, because he was very influential with the British, and he was a very respected person, that he was able to get visas and all kinds of help. The people who despised him most, he helped more than anybody. The people who did things to destroy his life, he had such an ahavas Yisrael. Ahavas Yisrael doesn't mean what the Ramak is saying. It doesn't mean when things are going great, when it's terrific, and when we see eye to eye, when it's panim al panim. Ahavas Yisrael is when there's a mitzias of achoyrei ra'isa, when you see the back of the other person, not their face. When you see that person does not seem to care for you, doesn't seem to love you, but he's a Yid. He's a brother, it's a sister. And you're not mashlich a brother or a sister. You don't throw away a brother or a sister. You don't throw away a child. You continue on. Nikel kamoicha noisei ovai. You continue in that relationship. You continue on. There's the Chazon Ish, and I'm going to be talking in the second part, talks about this type of a person. And he brings up the subject there about how this happens sometimes where a person has a business and somebody opens a business, the same type of business, you know, down the block. It happens. So instinctively, you feel that you were terribly wronged, and it's coming to you to do whatever you can to destroy that person's business, to put that new guy on the block out of business. But Chazon Ish says that we see that there's a midah of tzaddikim that not only do they not try to have the other store closed, but they go and they speak to them and they help them and they offer them ideas and tips about the business. You know, it sounds odd, but we know this lamashal when it comes to yeshivas. There's a lot of competition between yeshivas. I remember that I heard from a person very close to this, Rabbi Freilich, who I was teaching there in his school for many years, in Ezra Academy in Queens, and he once got a phone call from Reb Shlomer Feifeld. Reb Shlomer Feifeld, Zechon Levracha, had a tremendous love for Ezra and for the school, and these are two of our Talmidus in Ezra. So he had a tremendous, tremendous love for Ezra, Reb Shlomer. So he called up Rabbi Feifeld and he says to him, Rebelli, I want you to come with me. He said, where are we going? So he was going to see a very wealthy person to ask for a donation for the yeshiva, for his yeshiva, Reb Shlomer's yeshiva. And he said, he wanted to bring Rabbi Feifeld to introduce Rabbi Feifeld to this rich person, that maybe the rich person will be able to help Rabbi Feifeld also. Now, when it comes to the laws of fundraising, that's an absolute no-no. You don't do that. You're going to mund the man. You're going to ask this rich guy for money. The last thing you want is some other schnarr with you, right? You don't want to bring another schnarr along. That's the worst thing. This is my friend. I'm my friend. That's the last thing in the world. You want ki'ilu. This is the only moisad that exists in the world. This is my yeshiva. And if someone brought him along, brought Rabbi Feifeld along, he says, he wanted the rich person to meet such a person and to talk about the school. We know that when the Briskerov came to Yerushalayim, Reb Leizyuda Finkel, the Mir Yashir, Reb Leizyuda Finkel, the Mir Yashiva, he sent some of his best Talmidim to the Briskerov. Reb Shragif Avraham Mendelovich, Zechon Levacha, from Torah Vedas, he sent some of his best Talmidim because he was trying to open up other yeshivas and to help new yeshivas that were opening, and he would send his best Talmidim. He sent some of his finest Talmidim to the other yeshiva. In other words, not only were these tzaddikim soivel the new business down the block, not only did they tolerate and not seek to harm the new yeshiva, Rav Shragif Avraham Mendelovich sent his best talmidim to the new yeshiva, even though the new yeshiva was competition. And the new yeshiva could possibly undermine his own yeshiva, could take over his own yeshiva. So the Chazon Ish tells us in Emunah B'Tochen that there's a midah of a Baal B'Tochen. He's talking about the midah of B'Tochen. And the midah of B'Tochen, the Chazon Ish says, it's not just something that a person that you talk about, that somebody says, has B'Tochen, that you talk about. B'Tochen means that belief that's so strong. When the person knows that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be kind to others, that my being kind to the competition, not only to be soivel, but to do for the competition, even though the competition is hurting me. Even though the competition is hurting me. Not only do I not try to hurt the competition, but I help the competition. Again, it's a hard midah. It's very, very hard. But the Chazon Ish says this is the inyan of a Baal B'Tochen, someone who trusts in Hashem and lives in this way of Mikel Kamoicha, that even if it appears to you that there's someone who is potentially harming you, you can still go on with that person, not only that, but help the person. That's what the remark says over here, that Hashem wants us, Shetzarach Adam Esnahig Bar, Rishani HaSavlonis, Techene Yerzen Nelav, Afilu Madrega Zu, Vim Kol Zoyis, Lo Yesav Tervosu Ben HaMakabal. You continue to give and give and give, even though the other is hurting you. You continue to give. That's a midah of Mikel Kamoicha. Obviously, before we go on to the second midah of Nisa Oven, it's important to remember that according to the Torah, according to Halacha, one does not have to remain in a situation where he's being subjected to abuse, to harm and to abuse, not financially and not emotionally. We're not going to go into the problem of this Halacha, but one should not take out from the time of Dvaira that, for instance, that a person, like I mentioned before, should remain in a marriage with a person, with a spouse, is abusive, is chalila, physically, emotionally abusive, whatever. It doesn't mean that Torah does not want the person to be destroyed, to be made into a shmata, and to continue to give when all you get in response is hatred and pain. The gvulim, the shiurim of this, of course, is way beyond what we're talking about now. We're not talking about something, the Ramak's not talking about something extreme and destructive in that way. A person has to preserve his health, both emotional health and physical health. What I was talking about before is that we're living at a time where the limits are very, very low. People just have are very weak. It's very hard for them to tolerate. I was just reading, you know, the biographies came out about Lubavitcher Rebbe's Chusim because of the 20th Yahrzei. Each one is, it's hard to decide which is the best one, but there are these great books that came out about Lubavitcher Rebbe. So Lubavitcher Rebbe was already, I don't know, 85, 90, I don't know, something. And he was talking, somebody came to speak to him, a Chashev Rav, I don't remember who it was, a Chashev Rav came to speak to him, and he was talking to the Rebbe about retiring. And Lubavitcher Rebbe couldn't believe that. Like, he said, what do you mean? You're retiring. So he said to the Rebbe, he says, I'm tired. I'm doing this for like 50 years. So Baba Shabbat said, I'm also tired. There's no zvas. He said, I'm tired. So zvas. So you're tired. What do you do? So you go weiter. You go weiter. No zvas. I just mentioned this past Shabbos. It says in the Pasuk, it says, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, the Kaim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael, Me'esa Medyonim. Va'achat Te'osef, Elamecha. Take revenge, go lead the war of the Jewish people against Midian, and afterwards you will die. So the Ger Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael, said also to a person who was talking to him about retirement, that you see, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, this is the order. Lead the war against Midian, and then die. So the Beis Yisrael was saying is there was no Miami Beach in between. Hashem said, okay, you know, Hashem was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, your life is ending, It's finished. But before you die, I have one inyan that you need to take care of, is to go to war against the Midian. Not to go to retire and to live someplace, to live out the last few years of your life. It says in the pasuk, Nekoyim nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'esem midyanim, va'achate yosefu elamach. Take Nekoyim from the Midyanim, and then die. No, that's it. Nothing in between. To the last minute. The tzaddik is able to live in such a way, without any limits, with tremendous kaichas and strength. Our generation is very, very, very weak. It's very weak. And it's very hard to be soivel, especially to be soivel somebody who's not nice to you, somebody who doesn't treat you the right way. Sometimes in a family, so you know how it is, if a person is blessed, they have 2 children, 3 children, 4 children, 7 children. And there's always that child that's the hardest to love in the chaver. There's always one that's the hardest to love. And it takes like 99% of your attention and takes your kishkas out. And you feel like, I gotta get this kid off. You know, this is too much for me. And there are other ones that are so easy to love and they appreciate you, what you do for them and so on. It's very hard to be soivel when someone doesn't return that love. The midif mikel kamoicha means do your best to shoulder the responsibility, not just with a krechs and with a sour face, but to be mashpia, ahava, to give, even though it's hard, you don't get in return, and to be patient, and to tolerate, and to wait until that time where it'll be once again panim upon him. So Mitzvah Shem, it's already late now, so we'll start the meet the next week of Noisei Avraham.